Enveloped by crashing waves and plummeting brand value, the NRL has played its last card in the pack. It has launched Rugby League Season 2019 as a new era, yet the game has extinction written all over it. Lurid sex tapes, Cameron Smith refusing to retire, the Roosters as premiers, it's truly sickening. But history tells us that rugby league has always been able to crawl back out of the primordial slime of its own making if someone utters two magic words, fire up and Shazam, and all would be right with the greatest game of all. Well, no longer. The game has been blasted back to the Stone Age, and the two brontosauri that are Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle can't do anything about it. So welcome to New Fire Up, the new Coke of Rugby League Radio. Welcome to a Fire Up involving 33% less talk, 33% less music, and 67% less comedy. Welcome to a Fire Up that has the go forward of the Adelaide Rams. Welcome to New Fire Up, the Jurassic Era.
They're a beautiful couple! What a duo!
Dare I say, Chris, I'm feeling purified today.
Cleansed? Yes.
Just free of all the weight of the mankind's sins that have been relieved from me. Because I want to say to you, Chris, we live in a binary world. It's black or it's white these days. There are winners, there are losers.
No grey, Stephen.
No greys at all.
No grey at all. I like that. I like clarity. I want to know whether I'm in or whether I'm out.
Exactly. And let's face it, there's no greater source than the great traditions of religion in the world to go to find out whether you are in or out. Of course, that's where the confusion may start, depending on which religion you ask. And I say to you, Chris Gayle, there may well be...
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. No, Will Robinson.
Danger, danger, warning. Repent, repent, I say to you, Chris Gayle. Because can I read out a list at the moment?
Well, okay, hit me with the list, Stephen.
Now, just... a simple yay or nay if you've committed this atrocity, and I'm not talking about rugby league atrocities here, drunkenness.
I'll go yay on that one.
You're really putting yourself on the spot here. Homosexuality or acts of there on that.
From a personal point of view, no.
No.
But no, I'd have to
support
say
support association.
Completely.
Okay. Adulterer.
No, I'm going to go no on that one.
Should we get Mrs. Chris on the phone?
Well, fortunately, I was using the technicality of not being married in relation to that.
This is not funny, Chris.
Sorry.
This is not funny. Liar.
Okay, yeah, I'll say, if I say yes, I could be lying, or if I say no, I could be lying, so I'm going to say
how
yes.
How do we know? Yes, okay.
If it's unclear, isn't it?
Fornicator.
Well, that's a big ding.
I exempt you from the rest. I'm a fornicator, a thief, an atheist, an idolater, though, therefore, you probably have worshipped false gods over the years, I'm sure.
Look, I tell you what, I used to, as a child, pray in front of the Balmain Rugby League Leagues Club sign, which was the oval shaped like a football with the tiger jumping over the football, and to me... that was an idol that I worshipped, and I'm not sure I've ever left the church of rugby league.
One would say that by worshipping the hybrid beast of the magpie and the tiger is worshipping a false idol.
Yeah, it's hard to conceive of what a tiger and a magpie fused together
would look like. Yes, a tiger with wings. You know, that was fair enough. Keep the claws.
Or a
you know.
Tiger with a big beak, maybe.
Yes, that's right. Now, there's one man, of course, who's dragged us all into this great debate, this religious debate of what side are you on? Are you going to go and land in heaven or hell at the end of your life?
Barry O'Farrell.
Barry O'Farrell, yes. And I could say there's a number of them on the far right of politics that may have been dragged in the same debate, but they haven't had the same success as one Mr. Israel Folau has of the last week.
Is he?
The first time.
Is he?
Is he?
Is he?
Does he? Will he?
Will he?
Who is he?
Is he?
Is he? It is Izzy. Izzy Folau. Now, Izzy Folau, dare I say, is a code hopper, Chris?
Yes, well, he's got track... he's a proven code hopper, Steve. Yes, he's hopped from... well, the one true way, the one true calling, the one true code,
yes,
i.e. rugby league.
Which is why it was damned in the first place.
Yeah. He took a, I don't know what you'd call it, a sidetrack, a bypass, avoid Goulburn type thing by playing AFL for a period of time.
A dog leg.
And he ended up in a backwater, like a little known pastime known as rugby union.
Rugby union. But he went through AFL?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
That was his, that was his little backwater. Yeah, okay. The Dogley, exactly.
On another level, he's a code hopper too, because he once started out in the Church of the Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormons, and all those boys from Minto, like Jared Hayner, of course, were all God-botherers for some reason. Seems to be something in the local community on the water there.
Technical term, is it? God-bother?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, technical term. And but then suddenly, he now lands in the Assembly's Church of God.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he preaches every Sunday.
Nice.
And one would think this is one of the greatest advertisements for his church, if ever I heard one. Each Sunday, fire and brimstone sort of stuff. But we might say fire and brimstone a la the Catholic Church, but he's very down on the Catholic Church this week.
Right. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? I think you're referring to the fact, and you know, I know you have trouble keeping up with news, but Izzy's beliefs have been attracting a little bit of newsprint coverage.
That's right.
This week. And of course, the Murdoch press, they love to dive deep, and they've uncovered footage of Izzy at the pulpit expressing views. He's down on a lot of what I would have generally regarded as pretty mainstream Christian institutions.
Chris, the Easter rabbit and Easter eggs, he's down on those.
Well, we all hate the rabbits, let's face it.
Yeah, even the bilby. He's down on the bilby.
Let's face it.
On chocolate, Chris.
I've got no issue with that. I mean, my dislike, as you know, for the South Sydney Rabbitohs dates back to the...
1908.
Something like that. A long time ago.
Yes, that's right.
But he's gone after Christmas trees as well, Stephen.
Yeah, Christmas trees as well. Because
that seems
because
tough.
He says, if you really do your research, this is the Bible, I think the Old Testament is such, he said, you'll find that nailing up coloured lights and fake trees is an abomination against Jesus of any kind, and God himself has said no. So it's a man-made construct.
This worries me because in my family, we were too lazy to get a real tree.
Yeah.
So my mother had a sort of a metal and tinsel number.
Number. She'd bring out every year and dust it off.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, talk about false trees, false idols.
Exactly. Not even a real tree.
Mum and Dad, I hope you're out there and they're not listening because this would be upsetting news for you.
Are they forgiven?
Well, they've got to repent, apparently.
Apparently they do.
And they better get cracking.
Now, baptism. He says there's no such thing as baptism. Don't drop water on the little kiddies' heads.
Well, I think that's a health and safety issue, isn't it? I mean, I've been to a couple of baptisms, and it does concern me.
Yes.
That the child, potentially against its will...
Is the water clean?
Is getting... Exactly.
Yeah, look.
Is it fluoridated? Probably not.
I think I'd be on the wrong side of Izzy's favour, because I come from a long line where my grandmother used to carry a little bottle of holy water around and dab it on anybody's head that she found.
And it was marked in case of emergency?
Exactly, yes. So he goes, and there's a big sign, warning... Warning, warning.
Danger.
Danger. Warning, 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 he says.
Danger.
It says, in repent, only Jesus saves. Hell awaits you if you're a part of this script. Now, isn't it interesting that these are all sins of the flesh, so to speak, generally speaking, apart from the idolater, the liar. But essentially, he doesn't seem to be bothered by male aggression in this current era. I know that Harvey Weinstein would tick a few of these boxes.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to come into any category here. Assault.
Are you satisfied? Well, yes, those things don't appear to be listed there. I noticed rugby league players is also...
They're off the list.
Off the list, which I know Rugby Australia, that's the main reason they're getting rid of Izzy.
Yes.
Is he was a perfect opportunity to stick it to rugby league and he failed to do so.
But he could have just added one more on this list.
And it begs the issue, is the list comprehensive?
Yes, exactly.
I think it's just a for example.
Yes.
And if it's the case and you want to go through some other areas of concern from my personal level, I'll be ringing a few more bells. So there's a fair bit to repent.
Yes.
Against
but
or
Chris,
for.
Is this less of a cry for help and more of a mercenary instinct in Izzy Folau that, or Mrs. Izzy, as the case may be, because I believe she's the power broker. It's Maria.
I don't know.
Maria's pulling the strings here.
It's not clear to me.
His career in the church is the bigger thing, of course. And as we know, how much is the contract worth that he's given up in rugby union?
Very generous.
Very generous.
Very generous.
If I may quote, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What does he care for money?
Now, you've got that quote wrong. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than get 20,000 people to a Waratahs game.
Oh, right. Okay, right. What about a Roosters game?
But, I mean, let's face it, Stephen. You can see it from Izzy's point of view. Yeah. I mean, rugby union is a temporary pastime, followed by none, impressed by few.
Yes.
But, you know... churches for life and beyond.
Chris, this also begs a question.
Depending on which church you belong to.
It's about the afterlife, right?
Well, here you go.
It's the carrot and stick thing. It's the reward punishment thing. If I was worried about what to do, I saw a film the other night where a Jewish elderly couple were worried their son had converted to Catholicism. And the reason being is because he wanted to know that he might have a shot at least at heaven, if not hell. Better than nothing at all. Some don't have an afterlife. Some, like I think the Hindus, believe in reincarnation.
Right.
So, I beg of you, those that have fallen from grace, at least have a chance to come back as something. You got any examples?
Well, I do, actually. I mean, because I think that the Hindu philosophy is a little bit like the rugby league ladder.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the better you perform, the higher up
you go. Yeah, of course.
Whereas if you're not performing well, you're going down to the bottom of the ladder.
Right, okay.
And so therefore...
Only fair.
Yeah, but you're only as good as your last game.
Yes.
So take, for example, Mother Teresa. One would imagine she perennial...
She had a good run, right?
Perennial... Playoff.
A really good run.
Really great run. Always in the playoffs.
And then she had a false step at the end, correct?
Yeah, she comes back as Michael Ennis, a grub.
A grub? She'd been reincarnated as a grub.
That's
My God. So what about all those guys like Jim Bakker and Jimmy Swaggart, who were great Christians for most of their life, and then they were, of course, caught out as hypocrites?
So to the public eye, Jimmy Bakker and Jimmy Swaggart were sort of like your Broncos, though... that's an interesting idea. Your Broncos, your Roosters, perennial success stories.
Yes.
Now they're the Gold Coast Titans.
They are indeed. They've been relegated right to the bottom.
That's right.
Right. Will George Pell be reincarnated if he did believe in Hinduism?
George Pell will be in the Canterbury Cup.
The Canterbury Cup, will he?
He won't even be in first grade.
Bloody hell.
That's how bad things are for George.
Hands above board, please, George. So, look, this is a week of winners and losers. I say, if I may put forward some winners.
Please.
Winks.
Yes.
Though she hasn't run yet. I assume she'll get out a winner.
We were talking about this around the family table this week at the same time where I was encouraging my parents to repent.
Yes.
By the way, what is hell? To me, it was the Tigers losing to Penrith at extra time up at Panther Stadium.
I think it's probably hanging around with Cameron Smith for eternity.
Same thing. Yeah. Exactly right. Winks, imagine if it did lose tomorrow.
Oh, don't.
And
the Donald Bradman of bloody racing.
Well, this is it. Yeah. My father, and I said this to my father, I said, look, the greatness of Bradman is not that he retired averaging 100.
Yeah.
The greatness of Bradman is he was dismissed second ball for a duck, needing only 4 runs to get an average of 100.
You've got a funny idea of greatness.
Right, because we're remembered more by our failings than by our successes, Stephen.
So we will be success stories.
So fragility is what makes us human. It's what makes us rugby league players. It's what makes this show.
Yeah.
And it's what makes Izzy's stuff so contentious.
So he's a very righteous chap then, isn't he?
I think he's missing the point here.
Right. Now, the other winners, I would say, Geoffrey Rush.
Yes, well, I think he's
stuck.
There are no winners in that particular matter, Stephen. But
he says that.
But if you're losing, you may as well lose to the tune of $850,000.
I'd say the Mormons are winners because I didn't know this, but the Scientologists are Mormons because I don't think they've actually got a hell.
The Scientologists are winners or
they're
Mormons?
Winners, yes.
Right. Well, but that's. I mean, the sign of a great intellect is to think yourselves out of any potential downside, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Right. Which is essentially, I would say. That's why we've often theorised that Cooper Cronk is a replicant.
Yes.
He could actually be a Scientologist.
He could be.
Because he's able to think his way out of any tricky situation. I mean, the man can have a broken scapula and still succeed.
GI, broken arm, no good. Cronk, broken arm, premiership.
Better. My understanding, the Roosters have actually rebroken the scapula in the lead-up to the playoffs this year.
Losers, Julian Assange. He's looking like Moses, isn't he?
You know ultimately why Assange got booted out of the Ecuador.
Tell me, Chris. Because he was a very naughty boy.
His minibar bill was in the thousands, Stephen.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they just said
he didn't make his bed or didn't pick up his rubbish.
Yeah, no.
No, minibar bill.
And, I mean, the in-house movies he were watching, questionable content.
That's not on the list, though, drunken behaviour at the Ecuadorian embassy.
No, failure to pay bills? Yeah, where's that?
Failure to pay bills?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. Is he's got to have a new list? Is there a second tweet to this? Do we expect a follow-up?
Well, for example, it says repent.
Yes.
With a tagline, only Jesus saves.
Yeah.
I think we're waiting more detail. I mean, it's a viral marketing campaign.
Yes.
And it just leaves you wanting to know more.
Losers, we mentioned George Pell. Anthony Seibold.
Big loser.
Big loser. What about Darius Boyd?
Bigger loser.
Big loser. Okay.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Fire up.
Fire up.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Well, that's why I introduced Orbach to his wife. We're sitting at a pub after a game, and young Laura came over and she was looking at the fellas. I said, that's your one right there. Mitch Orbach, he's your man. Not only can he play, he's a great fella. He's everything you want.
Yeah, there's Freddie, the Space Cadet, as matchmaker, Chris.
This is, I think, what is great about this open and frank discussion we're having, Stephen, and we'd like people to text in on...
Oh, yes, the text number is 0409-945-945. Any songs that you might suggest, like I was going to say, the Doobie Brothers, Jesus Is Just All Right by Me.
Going to Raise Hell.
Yeah, Going to Raise Hell, yeah, yeah. Highway to Hell, obviously everybody's trotting out at the moment.
It's a Miracle, Culture Club.
It's a Miracle, yeah.
Is the, what we're really diving into here isn't just an existential question of where we go next, which to me hopefully is...
It isn't?
Henson Park tomorrow to see the Jets take on the Bears.
Well, that cleanses our soul.
Yeah. It's around making sure that there are pathways for rugby league players after they leave. So...
Right.
I guess from the rugby union side of thing, Israel Folau, who clearly needs a new career, is looking for a career in the church.
Yeah.
But look at Freddie Fittler. I mean, not only is he a broadcaster,
a photographer
and a coach, a photographer of note, matchmaker. And
yeah, look, he has got special skills. There's no doubt about that. And is there nothing the man can do, really?
He can walk on. Well, he couldn't coach the Roosters. That I think was a fact. But that's a really, really tough gig.
Yes.
But to think that. You're able to tell your grandkids that Freddie Fittler brought me and your grandmother together is a blessing that Mitchell Orbison will have for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. Now, just talking about this final question about heaven and hell and repenting and all the rest of the afterlife, if you were one of those people on the cusp, if you're looking at that list, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists and idolaters, and you were concerned about yourself, you're wondering, you know, you're not so much a Catholic and you knew you could get your sins absolved via priest, well, if you're on the cusp, Chris, is there a golden point way to get to heaven or hell, do you think?
Okay, good question. I'm just actually thinking, I'm sitting in whatever the equivalent of the doctor's surgery is and filling out the form, and I've got that list, and I'm just ticking this and crossing that and just going, what does this all mean?
Was that too big a question? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I'm not sure I have any authority to tackle the question. I do recall visiting... as a tourist, the Vatican, and there was a sort of a door, which I think was only open certain hours of the day.
Yes. What did this door do?
Well, I think
where did it lead to?
If you chose to sort of walk through the door into the main building there, it might be St. Peter's Basilica or something. I said my technical
knowledge.
Was it
publicised or was it a back door?
No, I think it's well known. Yeah. No, it was good public access, but I think it was like a fast track. You know, like when you go to Disneyland, you can get the fast pass?
Yeah.
Right, you don't have to queue.
Well, if you go to the Coliseum, you can pay to jump the queue.
Yeah, I think it was just like a sort of like, just look, as a one-off, because you've come here, you've come to the home, you've come to the epicenter, you don't have to go through the confession booth process, you can just simply walk through this door.
Yes, what happens?
Well, I think it's just like, you're just absolved.
The door of absolution.
Yeah. And of
course, cleanse your sins.
Yeah, and I mean, theoretically, you could probably do that every day, but then you've got to live in Rome.
So well, exactly. Who's got the airfare for that?
Yeah, so to me, that was a golden point
version
of the true repentance. Yeah. And there probably are other sort of, in this, you know, information-rich, rapidly moving society, ways in which we can do that. You know, watching, you know, you mentioned television preachers. I think if I turn on to Hour of Power on a Sunday morning,
help,
I think that's a...
Before you go to Henson Park?
Or see the Dragons play the Bulldogs, which is, again, another form of living hell.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, you know, only the Irish, of course, would have their own cave to purgatory, St. Patrick's Cave.
Yeah, you're very familiar with that,
aren't
you?
You can go there once a year. They go there once a year and celebrate the idea of walking into purgatory. Why would you think that? Well, only the Irish would consider that.
It was your mother who had the bottle of holy water, was it?
No, my grandmother.
Your grandmother.
Yes.
Like, to me, that was her version of golden point.
Yes, it was. A little dab of that and you're off and running. Okay, let's move forward, Chris. We know that the code sometimes gets into crisis. I don't think the code is in crisis, but there's certainly a team in crisis at the moment. We mentioned winners and losers.
Well, can I be so bold to suggest, Stephen, that there is a state in crisis?
A state in
the
crisis?
The state where the federal election, which apparently was called yesterday, but I was consumed with the Folau matter.
Oh, this is conveniently just after the Adani decision.
Correct. Yes. I was so consumed with the Folau matter. Apparently, Anthony Mundine had something to say about vaccination, but I'm not sure what it was.
Right.
Queensland is in crisis in rugby league. If you go to the rugby league, if you go to the Hindu table of
winners and losers.
Winners and losers.
Yes.
You'll see the Queensland clubs all near the foot of the ladder.
Wow.
And none more high profile, none more perplexingly dud than the Brisbane Broncos.
So one town team, one team town?
I never know which one it is. I've got no idea what it is.
It's not, well, in actual fact, it's a city. It's not a town,
okay,
right?
Okay, so there's a city and there's a team in it. Does that make it a one-city team or a one-team city?
No competition.
They get the
Friday night or the Thursday night game, as it is now. They've got all the sponsors of the world, haven't they?
Third-party deals up the wazoo.
The wazoo, right. How could they be losers, Chris, with all of that? They're sitting on millions of dollars. And what are they doing around town?
What are they doing around town? Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got a new coach. He's an outsider. He's not Brisbane people.
But he's a Queenslander?
He is a Queenslander by way of background, but he does seem to have come in and he's put a lot of noses out of joint.
Right.
I speak of Anthony Seibold, of course, and here's what has gone down between him and Gordon Tallis.
Right.
The club's not the club that I played for.
Yeah, but what? Why?
Well, because there was winners. When we used to train out of a dirty old gym, it was called the Cyril Connell Wing or whatever, and we used to go and train our butts off. They got a $27 million facility that they all sit there and have coffees and they walk around the town like they own the place. And they own nothing. They've won nothing. A couple of my old teammates went to their 30th anniversary and all the highlights that they showed were all the old teams from the 90s. They can't show anything of this current crop of group. Whether Kevvie Walters is good enough for the job, I think he had a chance to go there and fail. But he's not good enough. But he's good enough to coach our greatest side, which is Queensland. Our most important team that runs out is Queensland, right? But you can't have – there's one manager's got 18 players in there. The last time he did that was at the Tigers. Mm. So at the moment, he runs that club, not Paul White. No one runs that club except for him because he's got 18 players and the coach.
Again, I haven't read any of the comments. I'm not sure what what that commentary is about. But sometimes you're swimming in a pot of honey, and sometimes you're swimming in a pool of shit. So it's a week-to-week thing in the NRL.
Anthony Seibold said he doesn't quite understand the line about what you guys are saying about the Broncos, the line about it's not the club we play for, it's not what we stood for. They're walking around like they own the joint, they've won nothing.
Well, either walking around or getting carried out of nightclubs, one of the two.
I'm confused, Chris. Are they walking or are they swimming? Is it sea of honey or a sea of shit? What's going on here?
Well, he actually said pot of honey.
A pot of honey, right?
And,
only a fly could get into a pot of honey.
Is Anthony Seibold actually channeling A.A. Milne?
Yes.
Because I guess if you look at the combination of honey and, dare I say, shit, one comes up with Winnie the Pooh, don't they?
That's exactly right, Chris. Boom, boom.
And so this sort of old guard Brisbane against the new guard is clearly affecting Seibold's voice. I mean, he's really going, his voice is
sounds like Darren Lockyer.
More and more Lockyer eyes, isn't it?
Yes, right. I don't know what you're swimming in a sea of honey or sea
and,
of shit.
And you know a first grade rugby league coach is in trouble when they go to a metaphor that makes no sense whatsoever. Because I'm telling you, I think as you pointed out to me previously, if I'm a fly or an insect of some description, I end up a pot of honey, I'm not swimming for long, Stephen.
Yeah, either way, you're going to die.
You're going to die.
Whether it's smelling sweet or bad, it doesn't matter. You're going
to
die.
It might be a better way to die, but you're still dying.
Mixed metaphors, Chris, rugby league go hand in hand. You know
and,
that.
And if Seibold is going to the likes of Pangai Jr., Payne Haas, Nicarima and Milford, boys, what's your choice, honey or shit?
Yeah.
They've got no idea.
Just no idea. But apparently they're walking around like they own the joint. You know, 27 mil in the
Queen
bank.
Queen Street Mall, is it?
Yeah.
But this is
drinking coffee, Chris.
Isn't that, you know, we're always looking for generational divide, and we know that the younger rugby league players have come up with sex tapes as a way to throw the likes of Gordy off the scent.
Yeah.
Isn't
and it, Gus.
In the same way that one might argue that Izzy's is railing against the man and being controlled, i.e. railing Castle, and is saying, I don't care what contract I signed, cop this.
Yeah.
The modern rugby league player drinking coffee drives the players from the 90s and the 80s and the 70s absolutely mad. Because what do they drink, Stephen? They drink beer.
And yet, let's face it, what is the pathway to an occupation after footy? Coffee shop.
Well,
half of them are baristas in training now.
Your boy, Jason Nightingale.
Exactly.
Terrific.
My point. So what's so wrong with coffee after? Well, maybe it's after footy only when you've got nothing in your blood, you get the beach, right?
By the way, it's not just coffee. I don't know if you saw the press last week, but your mate, Bo Scott, who played for your guys at some stage.
Yeah. Destroyer.
He's come up with a passing machine.
A passing machine?
You know those things
every
in arcades where you roll
machine.
The balls up and they go into holes or you have the basketball shooting? It's a rugby. It's the version of the old Commonwealth Bank, you know, passing competition in a machine form. So you can be a matchmaker, an arcade machinist, but you're most likely to be a barista.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a publican anymore.
No.
Because rugby league players don't drink coffee.
No.
It's got Gordon offside.
Yes.
Seibold is charting his own course, and it's a course that's going to be dashed on the rocks, Stephen.
Yes.
My latest example, last night, I am no longer that person who yells at the TV during the game when their team is
playing. Homer Simpson style.
I'm too old. Yeah. I've got too many sins. I know I'm going to hell. Yeah. I'm accepting my fate. Yeah. When Michael Cheekham picked up the ball 30 metres out and headed for the try line, I was up screaming.
Yes, louder than Jesus Christ on top of the mount.
My partner Mary Jane was on an international phone call and America said, "What's going on down there?" And she just said, "There's an election being called." Yeah. You know how it is.
Now, can I go back to my list, Chris? On the list
warning,
here.
Warning.
Number one. It says drunks, right?
Yep.
Now, Latrell Mitchell. Yes. Case in point, rugby league's going to hell in a hell bar, in a handbasket, right?
Criminal infringement notice.
Yeah, what is that?
Is it a rap on the knuckles?
Yeah.
I don't think you've got to do anything about it.
He wouldn't leave the pub, essentially, when asked to leave. Is that not just the battle we're fighting this state of New South Wales when it comes to every bouncer's got more power than every drinker in the state?
That's exactly right. I mean, there's absolutely no adverse inference that can be drawn against Latrell, and I don't think the Roosters have.
Says he's been fined here by police for refusing to leave a pub in his hometown of Taree, the Old Bar Tavern, it says here.
What if he's paid for his drink?
Yes, yeah, exactly. What, do you just relinquish that payment?
Don't you hate that? They just come in and go, I think you've had enough.
Yeah.
It's, I think we've had enough.
Yeah, we've had enough.
We've had enough of providing security, so we just need you to leave so we can go home.
Among a group of men who were excluded from the premises after the group, the 21 who was involved in a physical altercation with another group of men, he reckons he was stepping in to stop a fight and was told to leave and tried to argue. Criminal infringement notice for failing to leave a licensed premise at Old Bar. Well, that's enough to drive you to hell, Chris.
Yeah. Latrell Mitchell, peacemaker, we salute you.
Now he did mention, Ben Gordy said that the players are just waltzing around town drinking coffee. Well, not all of them. Jimmy the Jet is flying high wherever he goes, correct?
I would assume that what he was drinking were espresso martinis.
Espresso
martinis. He's maintaining the faith.
He doesn't remember, though, Chris.
In that it's a coffee-infused form of alcohol.
Right, so he's putting the two together.
Yeah. Right. Put the two together, and you're being bundled down some stairs.
I don't know what it was. It was a private event, apparently, at a nightclub in Brisbane. This happens pretty regularly, I'd say.
Sure.
So no wonder Brisbane... Well, we've got another reason why Brisbane are failing miserably this year, and why the club in crisis, and Buzz still hasn't got there with the post saying in crisis, but... If you carry it out by four men, I know it takes six to take you out.
Yes.
At least four for me.
Yes.
Shirtless, unconscious, out the door. And Gus says, what does he say? It's not a cry for help so much as that he's got issues, right?
Yeah, he's definitely got issues. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, I think the major concern is that there's some now written rule that if you're injured, you can't consume alcohol.
Right.
And yet another reason why the modern player has turned to coffee and sex tapes.
Right. Gus said he's battling demons. That would make complete... It's like The Exorcist, right?
Well, hang on. This is an interesting point.
Yes.
Interesting point. You know, again, my knowledge of these matters is sketchy, but demons... Yes. Like the big demon is Satan, am I right in that?
Yes, and we used to think that was Cameron Smith.
Right, but Satan would be someone who comes and wreaks havoc... And dispenses evil and leaves the organisation that
and
they arrived
in a very
at
evil manner afterwards.
Correct.
Yes.
In a diabolical state after they left it.
Yes.
Now the Brisbane Broncos have never been this bad, Stephen.
No.
1-4 after five games. They're definitely not in a pot of honey right now.
No.
It begs the question: who was coaching them last year?
Wayne Bennett, the thin man.
How good were the Newcastle Knights after Wayne Bennett left them?
Shattered, Chris. Shattered.
How good were your St. George Illawarra Dragons?
He recommended Steve Price as a great coach. We know where that went. Dud.
When he first left the Broncos, how many premierships have they won since he left the Broncos?
Zip.
James Robert.
What about England?
I've never seen a worse rugby league team
than
a team relies on a whole bunch of people called Burgess.
Who else has he coached, Chris? Losers.
I know, Souths back in the day in the Queensland.
So what you're saying, we used to think the thin man was like Clint Eastwood, that he could play Moses in a film, that whatever he granted was going to be great for mankind. But in actual fact, he's the destroyer.
He is the destroyer. Wayne the destroyer. He's a confidence man. He's Satan dressed up as Charlton Heston. He supposedly leads these clubs to the promised land. He's put them all on the rocks.
Right.
And James Roberts was simply reflecting the fact that I used to be coached by Wayne Bennett.
Right. Now, last night there was a feud going on, I believe.
Seabold versus Madge?
Madge, yes.
Now, 15 Madge, Love, Madge McGuire.
One of them used to be the young guy underneath the old guy. Madge was the coach at South, right?
Yes.
Seabold was the junior.
Whoa. Yes, correct. I'm just looking at Redfern Pat right now and saying, is there anything going on at South that might be reflecting... The impact of the destroyer?
Yes, exactly.
Hello, Greg Inglis.
Greg Inglis. So ever since Bennett's come to South, they've fallen apart.
They're shot. They got beaten an extra point by Manly. That's just the the sharp end. But what about the feud? What do you think about the feud?
I love a feud.
Yeah.
Did you see Madge in the box last night?
Oh.
As if he wasn't happy when he was winning?
When Cheekan went over, he was like me. He was out of his chair and then he immediately calmed down because he thought, was that a double movement?
You see where this is taking us, Chris? We're becoming petty individuals. We are going to hell. We are damned for sure.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel.
But I got wise.
You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. You fool me with your kisses. You cheated and you schemed. Heaven knows how you lied to me.
And now, it's time for the latest instalment of The Life and Times of Gus Gould.
Good story, because when we flew home from Wagga, we actually went to the Musicians Club in Sydney down at the Central Railway Station. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were there, and Mick Stevenson knew them. We had a night on the piano with Peter, with Dudley Moore. Was Peter there? I think it was. Yeah, but we definitely had a night sitting, singing songs around the piano with Dudley Moore playing the piano. Was Peter there? I think it was. Yeah, but we definitely had a night sitting, singing songs around the piano with Dudley Moore playing the piano. I'm getting dementia. I better write this quickly.
You're definitely not getting dementia, I can tell you that much.
And that was the latest instalment of The Life and Times of Gus Gould.
Anyway, we're all fired up.
Man,
I've
got to say, that is more enticing than Game of Thrones.
Well,
come on.
You know, talk about... You know, I think we're all going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, rugby league is selling its soul, Stephen. You've got the Game of Thrones, shameless promotion. Yes. I don't know why the NRL allows it to happen.
No, there's no real connection, is there?
They're certainly not getting any coin from this. No, and I mean, you know, seeing the characters on the Matty John show dressed up, shamelessly promoting a show that Matty John's kept saying, never watched it.
Never watched it. Kaelin Ponga doesn't know what he's doing with a cape and a staff or a sword or something.
Yeah, sure, winter is coming. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, we're in autumn, but I don't know. But the idea of Gus Gould around a piano with the jazz stylings of Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore. Because he was very good, Dudley Moore.
He was an exceptional player.
And did Dudley Moore play any songs about, heaven or hell or the devil or God or Jesus, etc.? Yeah. I'm sure he did.
That old black magic he would have played.
Old black magic. Yeah. We've got some people who have texted in on the line, 0409 945 945. Nirvana, Come As You Are. Is that got a satanic message?
Well,
I'm sure it has.
Definitely does.
The dead Kennedys, religious vomit. Yeah,
well, there you go. That's pretty straightforward.
We've done a bit of that today.
That's pretty straightforward.
That is pretty straightforward. Now, Chris, if I could mention to you, there was a superstar coming back into town. He slunk through the airport and said hello to nobody wearing a hoodie and I believe a cap as well, branded. His name is Valentine Holmes. Who is he?
Again, I thought you were going to say Barry O'Farrell.
Yeah.
No, Valentine, former great Sharks winger, has played for Australia. He's won Origins. He's won premierships.
He's done it all, has he?
Cups. He's done everything at the age of 22.
Is he a preacher as well?
Doesn't appear to be. Didn't want to have much
to
say.
Not a churchgoer.
No, but he's won a contract with the New York Jets as opposed to the Newtown Jets. Playing
when you say contract, a contract to wait in a line to join the other queue to become a possible...
Correct.
Wait in liner.
You've nailed it.
In
the NFL.
We salute you, Valentine Holmes. And did he diss rugby league at all?
In a way, because every rugby league fan is, following his career so closely with bated breath because it looks so good for our brand to be represented in another brand. But he comes back. He won't talk to the press. He's in a hoodie from the NBA, not the NFL, which I think he thought would throw us off the scent.
He's learning fast, isn't he?
And apparently wouldn't speak because he was trying to shop around a little reality LeBron James style, like The Decision, which would be Valentine Holmes.
That's a bit on the nose, isn't it? Gordy Tallis wouldn't like that at all, would he?
Didn't work.
No. Well.
But the Sharks are also, if Game of Thrones has been, slapped on the face of rugby league on Fox.
Yeah.
What about the fact that the Sharks, who's had such a proud history in terms of the names of their stadium?
Yes.
Endeavour, Ramondas, Southern Cross, Caltex,
is there a Captain
Ronson,
Cook?
The Shark Park.
Shark Park, clever.
He's been renamed pointsbet_AU.
Oh, I like the underscore.
Stadium.
Yeah, because you've got to say that underscore, right?
It's different. You know, here we are live from pointsbet_AU Stadium.
We just gave him some free publicity.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to.
Stop right
there. I think the devil's working on me. Where's Wayne Bennett? Wayne Bennett's just up the road, Stephen.
Yeah.
He's within a kilometre of where we're talking about. His influence is pervasive.
Yeah. Now, talking about those old days of the when South Sydney Rabbitohs were something and somebody before they were a club in crisis, right, before Wayne Bennett got his hands on them. Gus Gould used to tell stories that, like, we all knew that the players in the olden days would go to the Cauliflower across the road here from FBI once they'd played the game and join with the opposition team for a post-game beer.
What a great era that was.
And misty-eyed, you know, pink-tinted glasses sort of version. They'd get all cabbaged.
I believe, you know, going back in time, the great Dragons and South teams of the 60s and early 70s would do that.
Yep.
Apparently the rule was, though, that the women weren't allowed into the functions.
Don't
which,
tell me this.
Which is not good.
Is that on his list? You know, hang on. Warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, adulterers. Doesn't say people exclude women from pubs.
Misogynist.
It should, shouldn't it? Misogynist. Come on now.
But, and they were a happier time because, as Gus says, you could go, you have six beers with the opposition.
Is that all?
Learn some respect and then drive home without a seatbelt.
Drive home without a seatbelt?
Yeah.
Wow, in your classic Holden. Holden times. That takes us to one more thing, of course. Barry O'Farrell, the man who brought the lockout laws into New South Wales, the city in particular, and ruined this state to the tune of how many billion dollars lost revenue, Chris?
Wasn't the economic modelling something in the region of $14
billion? $14 billion he's lost. Now he's the head of the West Tigers.
Oh, yes.
CEO, chairman, what is he now?
No, he would be the chair.
The chair,
yeah. He's taken Marina's spot.
He's off to disco.
Well, isn't this interesting? Because as we know, and I can speak from bitter experience having been out at Campbelltown to see us lose to the Dogs.
Yeah.
It's a monotone experience. The Tigers are now playing in a neutral outfit. There are no colours as
no
such.
Colours,
just
no.
all sort of no. blacks, whites, greys.
Yes.
No logos.
No
cheerleaders.
No music.
Oh, boy. If we had time, I'd get into Fitzsimons about what he said about the cheerleaders last week, but I haven't. There is no food or beverage.
Yeah.
There's no in-ground music.
I'm assuming there's no Mirrorball.
There's no Mirrorball. There's no entertainment.
Jesus Christ.
Because Barry says, this is the society that I want. And this is the experience that I'm going to impose on Tigers fans.
Now, there's a tradition, these people that go out and they're sort of, you know, the grey men of the world who, you know, fire and brimstone men, like we mentioned Jim Bakker and Jimmy Swaggart and Mike Hintz, George Pell. There's always an underlying theme here, isn't there? There's something going on that we wouldn't say hypocritical. We'd just say perhaps there's two stories running at once.
The talk has not walked.
Exactly. Where's Barry O'Farrell going?
He's been spotted at the premiere at the casino, Stephen, of...
Saturday Night Fever. Yes, and I believe Toddy Greenberg might be in there too.
I'm not sure if they were there together.
But Toddy loves the disco.
He does.
Yeah, Southwestern boy. Come on now.
Come on.
Chris, we'll see you next week. Fire up says repent or go to hell.
Otherwise, you won't be staying alive.
Exactly.